coming to you now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Well, greetings and welcome again to Bread of His Presence. If you were with us last week, you'll remember that we began looking again at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, one of the richest passages, I think, in the entire Bible, because of how in it we find Jesus pulling very specific quotes from the Old Testament, particularly Isaiah 55, 1 through 3, and Exodus 33, 14. Verses that apply to God and to God alone, but then he appropriates those verses to himself. He says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And last week we really began focusing on this idea of yoke. What did Jesus mean by using this word yoke? You know, from a physical standpoint, a yoke was simply the wooden frame that joined two animals, usually oxen, together for pulling a heavy load. But as we saw last week, yoke was also used in a metaphorical sense, in and throughout the entire Bible, to represent becoming joined with something. Now, that could be something good, or it could be something bad. And we saw numerous examples of this, first in the Old Testament, but also extending into the New as well. You'll remember that Paul, in Acts 15:10, calls the Jewish ceremonial laws a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear, arguing against Gentile believers being made to bear the burden of all those regulations. Now, because yoked animals are brought together for the purpose of being forced to move together towards the accomplishment of a task, being yoked is also a symbol for an alliance or a union. And the scripture is very clear that we are to be careful in both our friendships, but also in business, with who we allow ourselves to become associated with. This was something Israel repeatedly failed at, as they often participated in the pagan rituals of the nations around them. That's why it tells us in Numbers 25, verses 1 through 3, "While Israel lived in Shittim, the people began to whore with the daughters of Moab. These invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel yoked himself to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." Now, Paul also warned Christians not to get married to unbelievers when he says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" And what Paul likely has in mind here is the Old Testament prohibition against yoking oxen with donkeys. Because it says in Deuteronomy 22:10, "You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together." Now, why God prohibited this was either for the mercy of the animal, because an ox would be stronger than a donkey, and thus would have to pull more than its fair share of the weight, or to avoid joining a ceremonially clean animal with an unclean animal. Maybe both are applicable under different circumstances. But Paul's concern was that if you yoked yourself to an unbeliever, that person is going to pull you into sin, particularly in matters of conscience. And we definitely see this in the story of Solomon, because what did he do? He yoked himself to many, many, many foreign women who not only were unbelievers, but who were themselves yoked to pagan gods. And so in yoking himself to them, he found their weight pulling him, and not just him, by the way, but all of Israel, into idolatry. Being unequally yoked had national consequences, and they were devastating. Now, on the flip side, while being yoked to an unbeliever can bring monumental pain, being yoked to God and to godly people can bring monumental blessings upon your life. And this is especially seen in the rabbi-disciple relationship, where a disciple was said to be taking on the yoke of the rabbi. You know, one thing I read and found to be very enlightening was how typically a young, untrained ox is yoked with an older, trained ox. And the younger learns from the older. A trained ox can pull roughly 5,000 pounds, and an untrained ox roughly 2,000. Now, together, how much can they pull? Interestingly, not 7,000 pounds, but 10,000 pounds. That's right. They can pull more together than they can apart. Now, as time progresses, the untrained ox becomes trained, and they become more and more in step with one another. And eventually, together, they can pull roughly 15,000 pounds, because the younger ox becomes like the ox it's yoked to. And that's a very fitting imagery for discipleship, because in a rabbi-disciple relationship, the disciple was expected to place himself in a position of total obedience, total dedication to his rabbi and his rabbi's philosophy. It was his desire to become just like his rabbi. And that's so key for us to understand, because when you and I think of a yoke, we think of something tiresome, something burdensome. But in the rabbi-disciple world of Jesus, taking on a rabbi's yoke, it wasn't a negative thing. No, it was a binding of yourself to him, because your central desire was to pull the same load as he did. And the best way to do that is to willingly bind yourself to his yoke and cart. Now, all of this is powerful, and I think even beautiful imagery. But nevertheless, it isn't all that easy for us to understand what Jesus specifically meant by using this imagery. What yoke are we talking about here? You know, some have said that Jesus is contrasting his way of keeping Torah with that of the Pharisees, saying that while theirs involves strict adherence to all their oppressive regulations, Jesus' way involved simply living a life of love and devotion to God. And that's certainly the interpretation that I grew up hearing. And yet one author I was reading said that there are passages from Jewish literature that may actually help us determine what Jesus meant. And Ben Sira, also known as Ecclesiasticus, which is a Greek book of the Apocrypha, that predated Jesus by over 100 years, there exists an astounding parallel to Jesus' words. It says, "Draw near to me, you unlearned, and lodge in the house of study. Why are you slow? And what do you say about these things, your souls being very thirsty? I opened my mouth and said, buy her wisdom for yourselves without money. Put your neck under her yoke, and let your soul receive instruction. She is to be found nearby. See with your eyes how with only a little labor, I have gotten much rest." Now note how the Ben Sira passage contains the same themes that we find in Matthew 11. Drawing near to a source of instruction, taking up a yoke or a burden, the labor of learning that results in finding rest. Ben Sira 51:27 implies that the yoke is easy, And the words, let your soul receive instruction, are similar to Jesus' saying, learn from me. Key words found in both passages include find or found, your souls, yoke, burden. And similar themes are seen in a second passage, which adds to our understanding of what Jesus meant. Because it says, listen, my son, and accept my judgment. Do not reject my counsel. Put your feet into her fetters, and your neck into her collar. Put your shoulder under her and carry her, and do not fret under her bonds. Come to her with all your soul, and keep her ways with all your might. Search out and seek, and she will become known to you. And when you get hold of her, do not let her go, for at last you will find the rest that she gives. And she will be changed into joy for you. Then her fetters will become for you a strong protection, and her collar a glorious robe. Her yoke is a golden ornament, and her bonds are a cord of blue. You will wear her like a glorious robe and put her on like a crown of gladness. What an amazing passage from Ben Sira. And you know, the same author I was reading pointed out how this passage also has much in common with Matthew 11. Come to her with all your soul reminds us of Jesus saying, come to me. You will find the rest she gives is also echoed by Jesus. Her yoke and her bonds is paralleled by Jesus's my yoke and my burden. You see, according to Ben Sira, wisdom's yoke, that is the burden of study, will become joy. A strong protection, a golden ornament, a cord of blue, even a glorious robe and a crown of gladness. In other words, although the yoke is a burden, the wearer is going to experience it as easy and light. And so probably like the passages we've mentioned, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, it refers to this context of learning. And what that suggests is that Jesus was likely not contrasting his burden to the heavy burdens of the Pharisees, to which he referred elsewhere. We see that in Matthew 23, 4 explicitly. But rather, as Jesus extended this amazing invitation to prospective students to join his band of followers, he's alluding to the burden, to the cost of discipleship. And we went into that a great deal last week. To follow Jesus would involve an enormous sacrifice of time and comfort, especially for those disciples who had families. In that sense, it is a yoke. But at the same time, when Jesus says, my yoke is easy, he's saying, studying with me is going to be so exhilarating that you're not even going to notice the yoke being heavy. And what could be more invigorating than following the Messiah, learning the Word of God from God himself? Difficult? Yes. Challenging? Absolutely. But worth every minute of it. But you know, I was thinking on this, you know, I think all of us are yoked to something. The question is not whether you are yoked or not yoked. The question is, are we yoked to the right things or the right people? Are we allowing unholy alliances or unclean things into our lives that rob us of the presence of God? Is what we look at, what we watch, the things we read, the people we hang out with, are they reflective of a life that is yoked first and foremost to Jesus Christ? You know, that's something we need to consider, I think, on a daily basis. Because Solomon, though he was the wisest man who ever lived, ultimately he fell into sin because of his failure to apply what he already knew. He let his heart become yoked with things that brought so much pain, so much suffering, not only into his own life, but into the lives of the people around him. As one ancient rabbi put it, sin begins as a spider's web, but then it becomes a ship's rope. And so as Hebrews 12:1 tells us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us instead be yoked to Jesus Christ. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.